Everyone, welcome over to the channel. Today's episode is being sponsored by Yahoo Finance. Got some big news coming out of the Gaza Strip today. One, it's like there's a communications blackout. You can't see anything really across social media, any new videos, all information just appears to be shut down. We're not seeing anything being reported by the Palestinians. And typically, we still get IDF soldiers that are posting videos throughout the week as, you know, combat operations and stuff are going on. For the last 2 days now, it seems like it's just a complete and total blackout inside of Gaza. That's likely because on Tuesday this week, Hamas launched a major attack against the IDF with indirect fire. Hamas claimed to have launched over 100 mortar rounds, and the IDF did suffer casualties. The exact figures of that particular attack have not came out, but what I was told is that it's not nearly as bad as the mass casualty incidents that took place last week in both Jabalia and down in Rafah. Anyways, immediately following that mortar attack, the IDF decided to launch a strike into Rafah itself. They started pushing with infantry and tanks, taking more and more terrain out of Rafah. And again, they did not drop leaflets. At least that wasn't announced. And likely that maybe they did, but we just didn't see it because there was a communications blackout. But the IDF didn't say anything about it. So we're just going to assume that they went in self-defense because of this coordinated mortar strike. The U.S. pier that just got installed last Thursday on the coast of Gaza is back up and running after it got shut down on Saturday because of looting of all the humanitarian aid as it was being delivered to the distribution point. On Saturday, there were 16 trucks of humanitarian aid that were on their way to the distribution point when they got looted by Palestinians. Only 5 trucks actually made it to the final destination. And there's videos online, I can't even show them on here, of Palestinians that were climbing the trucks and ripping things off, and the trucks were running them over. It was absolute chaos. I mean, it was like a horde of people going after these freaking HA trucks. So because of that, they ended up shutting the pier down for a while. And the White House actually admitted earlier this week that they don't think that any of the HA has actually made it to the civilians inside of Gaza, well, minus what had been looted. However, today, Reuters is actually reporting that the transportation of aid from the U.S. pier in Gaza has resumed. Additionally, a former guest on this channel, Doran Kidder, actually put out a video today showing the pier and showing it up in operation. So for any of you that think it's not happening, you are dead nuts wrong. Check this out.
All right, guys, here we are on the coast of Gaza. This is the U.S. port that you hear about on the news, and the humanitarian aid is coming in right here behind me. Empty trucks that have already been unloaded, sending in humanitarian aid into Gaza. So for all of the online experts that keep saying that they think they know what's happening and how the Gazans are being starved, they're not getting what they need, whatever. Look at this. This is from my vantage point. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 empty full trailer trucks that have been unloaded right here, and that's just some of the tons of humanitarian aid that's coming in here through the U.S. port. Okay, this is the U.S. Government that's built this floating port here, and they're bringing in, you can see the ships in the distance over there, you can see them where they load all the goods, they bring them here and they bring them into Gaza. So This is debunking a lot of the crap that you're hearing online, on the news, whatever. This is what's happening. We're here. We're seeing this. We're observing it. And it's happening as promised by the U.S. government and the Israeli government. They're working together to make sure the Gazans get what they need, while at the same time, the military, the IDF, is conducting our operations. We're trying to eliminate the terrorists, and we're trying to get back our hostages. You already probably heard in on the news that there have been hostage bodies that have been retrieved. So we've been able to restore the bodies to the families so they could mourn. Unfortunately, they were dead. And that's the missions that we're conducting and we're trying to do here. Until this is all over, this is the reality, but this is how it is.
So he ends that speech letting you know that they're out there still looking for hostages. And 4 hostages were, in fact, recovered last week in a tunnel inside Jabalia. Now, originally it was reported that those bodies were in Rafah. Turns out they weren't. They were actually up in Jabalia. Now that happens. However, IDF spokesperson today came out and actually made statements about the hostages actually being inside Rafah, and they are more than aware of it. And the reason he did that is because last week, when the information came out about the hostages' bodies being found inside Rafah, people are now accusing them of lying and misinformation in order to conduct their exercise inside of Rafah, as if there's not a massive crap ton of freaking terrorists inside of Rafah. Check us out.
We're going to release our hostages from Hamas. Hamas is in Rafah. Hamas has been holding our hostages in Rafah, which is why our forces are maneuvering in Rafah. We're doing this in a targeted and precise way.
So there you go. The IDF knows that hostages are in Rafah, and they're going to continue on with their operations to go get those hostages out. Just yesterday, a new video ended up getting posted that shows Israeli female soldiers on October 7th getting wrecked by Hamas. I tried to put the video up on this channel, 18 plus. YouTube said no way, ended up ripping the video down. So I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, it's no longer here, but you can find it over on my Twitter channel if that is something that you're interested in. So you're welcome to go over there. The video's posted up. I also have a 2-hour extended version of that video that I'm going to edit as little stuff out as I can to save people their dignity. And then I'll post that on there as well so that you get the full unedited, as much as like humanely possible video, and that'll go up on there as well. All right, so now we're going to come over to the map and we're going to take a look at the current battle space inside of Rafah. Now, there is currently 5 brigades of the Israeli Defense Force operating inside Rafah. There is only 10 brigades inside of the entire Gaza Strip. So half of the Israeli Defense Force is committed to Rafah. That should tell you how seriously they are taking this fight. Now, down here on the bottom of your screen is the Kerem Shalom border crossing right here where these 2 yellow flags are at. This happens to be the Rafah border crossing gate. Now, last week we saw the Israeli Defense Force towards the tail end of it push pretty deep up this fence line about halfway through, but they didn't advance anywhere. They just kind of secured the fence line in between the Sinai Peninsula and Rafah itself. We saw them expanding operations off over here just outside of the airfield, and they began moving into these neighborhoods a little bit further west of the Rafah gate, north and northwest. And that's pretty much where they held for the last couple of days, just clearing that area out. And again, they took heavy casualties. They hit a houseborne IED. They had lots of issues down over in there. They took heavy casualties just going in and taking that little bit of battle space. But on Tuesday, we actually saw a large mortar attack get posted by the Al-Qassam brigades. And that's what sparked off what I'm about to tell you about. Now, that mortar attack was reported to have taken place in and around this airfield, somewhere out here. Now, this is supposedly where the IDF has been staging their troops for follow-on combat operations. Again, they've got 5 brigades. They've got to have a huge space because those 5 brigades likely aren't all operating in this tiny little bit of battle space. So that's where those mortars actually impacted, allegedly. Now, after that, we saw a lot of airstrikes that were being conducted up here in the center of Rafah, as well as over here in this new blue battle space that the IDF has took. So we're going to zoom in on that. So these are the developments that actually came out overnight from what the IDF did. Again, they launched this operation on Tuesday, and now we are getting some more intelligence that's telling us specifically where the IDF is operating at. Now, they were just on this side of the Al-Aruba Road before all of this kicked off the other night. And since then, they have actually started to close up a lot of this red space that was down here, or this blank space, and started clearing it out from Hamas operatives. Additionally, when you go up the fence line, that little node that they had pushed up, well, yeah, they started assaulting a little bit further out towards Rafah itself. So they moved off the fence line and they started pushing tanks and infantry troops up over in towards the middle of that city. Ladies and gentlemen, you know I'm a pretty busy guy. And you also know that I'm a reasonable human being. I work from sunup to sundown, but I don't believe that my work alone is going to be enough to secure the future of my family, right? Like actual financial security. So I invest. But the problem is that I'm always really busy. So I've looked over the years for a place for me to, you know, view my portfolio, what's going on in the stock market, and then also see the relevant news of what's going on for the day so I can make educated decisions on when to buy and sell. Telling you right now, all the way back, you know, before 2010, I was using Yahoo Finance. They're the number one finance destination, and they produce a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analysis, ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. Very important. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insight to look at your wealth, in its entirety. So, for comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. IDF states that they came across a cemetery that actually had a weapons cache in it that was filled with rockets. Additionally, the troops in the area are having a lot of issues with Hamas fighters that are popping up out of the tunnels right next to them and attacking them at a very close range. So this is very intense urban combat that's taking place inside of Rafah. Rafah is not the only place where the IDF is currently in heavy contact with enemy forces. As a matter of fact, up north in Jabalia, they're also facing pretty stiff resistance. So we're going to be focusing right here on this area, and we're going to take you guys in a little bit close. Now, just the other day, the IDF started encroaching on the Jabalia refugee camp, and there was a lot of heavy fighting that started to take place. IDF came across some very large weapons caches and was accused of actually bombing the refugee camp as well. We saw reports that the IDF was inside the refugee camp. Now, again, I'm going to remind you that comms blackout that I talked to you guys about earlier, about like no footage or anything like that coming out, that goes for Jabalia as well. All right. It's like everything is shut off. There was a lot of on the ground reporters up here that were running around behind the gunfire, showing you guys what was taking place. They're not there anymore. They're all quiet. Not a single word out of anybody. However, one of the newest updates that we ended up seeing was this. And what you can see, if you look at this blue line that I'm tracing out up here on the map, is that the IDF appears to have cordoned off an entire area. Now, normally when we see the military conduct cordon operations like that, it's because they're trying to accomplish two things. One, they don't want enemy reinforcements to come in, and they don't want the enemy to get out. So they are going to be clearing the crap out of that area. And with the type of intense fighting that they face just getting in there, there's no doubt that the IDF believes that this is a very big stronghold. The other thing it could possibly be is that they think that there is hostages that are being held up inside there as well. Because again, they had 4 bodies they recovered from that vicinity inside of a tunnel. So if that's the case and the IDF has intel that those hostages are in that area, they're going to close it off to the best of their ability. Additionally, the other thing it does is it helps keep the civilians out. Okay, so people that don't belong in that combat area, they're able to keep out. That's telling me that the IDF is about to launch a very large-scale operation inside of Jabalia. Now, I want to share with you some photos of a very unique cache that got shared with me. And it's important to pay attention to what's inside of this weapons cache, because it's going to tell you specifically the type of threat that the IDF is up against. So what you're looking at here on your screen is actually a homemade claymore mine. Now, claymores, everybody knows them from the freaking movies. You essentially have a bunch of explosives with ball bearings in front. The bomb goes boom and the freaking ball bearings go everywhere. It's like letting off a giant shotgun full of ball bearings with an explosive charge, right? That's what that vest is that you're currently looking at. But it kind of gets a little bit creepier when you go a little bit deeper on. Now, here inside of this photograph, we're seeing a bunch of different things, okay? There's a bunch of electrical components. This actually looks like a homemade dumbbell, to be perfectly honest with you, like cement in there for them to work out. But you see numerous of these bags that are set up and all around, and you also see various electronic components. Those electronic components are going to be used to make IEDs. Additionally, when you start seeing stockpiles of watches and things of that nature, believe it or not, you can actually use those to trigger IEDs as well. I won't get into how you do it, but you can, in fact, use those to trigger them. Now, right here at the bottom of this photo, you actually see something, okay? And this is military-grade plastic explosive. Let me go down just a little bit more. As it zooms out, you can actually start making it out. That's what's inside of that package there. So, on top of that, they also found this, TNT. Now, why would they have plastic explosives and TNT? Well, it's pretty simple. When they went into Israel on October 7th, they raided a couple different military compounds. And it's very possible that they were able to get these types of explosives out of Israel and back into Gaza. Again, you know, they could have also been smuggled in there beforehand or after, but either way, they also have plastics as well as freaking TNT. That's pretty freaking wild. But this is the one thing that I want you guys to focus on, because a couple months ago when Israel shot those hostages that were attempting to surrender themselves, the world was kind of questioning, why would you do that? Now, in this particular photograph that I just showed you, it is very clear that it's a vest. However, I have talked to, and unfortunately I cannot share with you these pictures because they are not released to the public, but there has been suicide belts. I've seen them with my own eyes, actual like belts, wrapped with explosives in order for people to wear them. But the odd part about those belts is some of them were actually designed for children. They have very, very small waistline. So not only do they have vests like this that they're out there running around with freaking explosives and ball bearings on, but they also have belts that are sized for kids that have been found by the IDF inside of Gaza. So you have these new emerging threats that the IDF is dealing with. Last week, they hit two house-borne IEDs as reported by the Al-Quds Brigades. And I saw it with my own eyes. It looks pretty damn believable, right? But additionally, we also have suicide belts, some that are made for kids. And then we also have S vests like this one that are made for adults. And it could be, number one, people are speculating and attempting to say that, look, this cache in itself was designed for another October 7th style attack. I don't believe that to be the case. I think they just have these vests out there. So if they are going to surrender to the IDF, or if they feel like they're about to get overran by the IDF, they have an ability to clack themselves off and cause further damage. Now, I'm going to play for you this video that the IDF released yesterday, because again, it goes back into the dirty tactics that Hamas is currently using inside of the Gaza Strip. I'm not going to show you the airstrike because truthfully, it doesn't matter. And I'm going to have to blur it out anyways, but it is not the point of this video. Now, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna mute it so you guys don't hear it. But what is actually taking place here is the IDF is observing this building right down here. And inside of it, reportedly, got ended up killed in this airstrike was three dirtbag terrorists. One of them was apparently a pretty big deal. Don't feel like speaking his name because screw him, that's why. But as this video goes on, you start seeing this individual roll up on a bicycle before they zoom in. Now, this individual happens to be a child. So I want you to take a look at that area and ask yourself, what in the world is a child doing in a war-torn area of the city like that? And he just rolls up, sticks it on a kickstand. And the moment he rolls up, you end up seeing this guy emerge from the building. Give it a second. He'll be out in a sec. All right. He's going to come out. Kid's just standing there waiting on. There he goes. So he comes up. This guy comes out, walks up, and he talks to the kid, not for very long. Camera zooms in. Kid goes back on his bike, and you could see this kid pull out a very large cell phone. Okay, so one, this kid is what? Probably about 10 years old, estimated just by looking at this video. And he lives in Gaza, which is not exactly the most affluent portion of the world, but he's got this really nice cell phone. This guy came out, talked to him for about 2 seconds. I couldn't tell if he handed something off to him. I don't know if he handed that cell phone off to him. But then all you see is this kid turn his bike around and he leaves. Now, this video is being widely shared across the internet. And I think people are missing the point of this video, to be perfectly honest with you. And the point of that video is, it, to me, has nothing to do with them taking out Big King Dirtbag Terrorists. The point of this video to me is that kid that rolled up on his bicycle. Got to ask yourself, what the hell was that kid doing there for such a short period of time? And why did he roll up on that bike? Well, and this has been true since, I don't know, like the history of warfare. Even if you go back and it's been true forever. The most secure way of sending a message on the battlefield is through a runner. That is the most secure way of sending a message on the battlefield is through a runner. IDF has what's called signal intelligence. They're very good at collecting it. They can pick up and record cell phone calls. They can track the different locations of them, and same thing for the radio. So if Hamas or key leaders of Hamas are picking up the radio and clicking on it, all of a sudden that's broadcasting a signal out that the IDF can then intercept, and they can start pinpointing where these people are and also track their communications. Hamas is apparently very, very well aware of this manner. And when I saw this video, I about crap myself because nobody has said a word about it. You know that guy is a big deal inside of Hamas because he has a child runner. That kid likely just collected either that cell phone or information from him in order to pass off to another dirtbag inside of Hamas. Now, how is that going to help out the IDF? Because what you see in that video, the kid leaves and boom, bomb drops, three dirtbags go away. But Israel is going to take that a step further. They're going to track that kid and see where he was taking that message to, and also see who he's interacting with. And this is the beauty of intelligence. A lot of people are praising the IDF, saying, look at the IDF. They did a good job. They didn't attack the kid. That's not so much the case that they didn't attack the kid, because they, you know, he could have been considered, depending on what intelligence they had, a valid military target, because he is carrying a message from, you know, a high dirtbag. Okay. But at the same time, he's also a valuable freaking asset for the IDF to watch, because if he goes and passes off messages, then they can just start tracking these guys down. And this is how that network is built. It's a beautiful, it's a wonderful thing. I hope you guys learned something here today. I'll keep you posted as more information gets released on the battlefield. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I'm out of here.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present, and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.